When you study Scripture, you find many examples of believers who dared to trust God so completely that they lived courageously. They dared to be faithful to God and live boldly for Him. Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church. Welcome to Fraser 365. Thank you for joining us as we examine some of the most faithful and courageous heroes of Scripture. We hope this study challenges you to live boldly for Christ today.
Welcome to day 32 of Dare to Be. Our title this morning is Even If Not. Someone once said, "Even if not" highlights the unwavering commitment to your belief in God, regardless of the outcome. It demonstrates a willingness to prioritize faith over worldly pressures or potential rewards. Our text for today is from Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had just been warned that they would be thrown into the fiery furnace if they refused to bow down and worship the golden statue. Yet the three Hebrews did not need to answer King Nebuchadnezzar because they had already settled the issue in their hearts. They had decided beforehand that their total allegiance was to God. Their faith was strong enough to stand up for God and leave the results to Him. The authors of the Preaching the Word commentary share these thoughts on today's text. Biblical faith has the assurance to say, "I know my God is able to deliver me." It has the confidence to say, "I believe that my God will deliver me." But it also has the submission to say, "But even if he does not, I will still trust him." As Job said in Job chapter 13, verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." Every Christian agrees with the first statement. We know our God is able to do all things. I commend those Christians who truly do have the confidence to believe that their God will deliver them. But it seems that very few Christians can have this firm belief that he can and will deliver us while maintaining a submissive attitude to his sovereign will if it differs from our request. We need to understand that faith is not a rabbit's foot, and God is not a genie who is bound to do for us whatever we want. Believers with strong faith surrender their will to God while firmly trusting that God has a plan. And if that plan involves suffering, they know God will walk with them through whatever he allows. Too often, when our faith is tested, we rationalize reasons to settle for less than total commitment to God. James Montgomery Boyce discusses these dangerous justifications. There are times in life when you do not want to debate the pros and cons of a position. If you do, you will very likely choose the wrong side. There are times when you have to respond the right way and do the right thing instantly, or you will probably fail the test. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had listened to our kinds of rationalizations? someone might have said, the three of you are obviously sincere and quite dedicated. We need more people like you. And that is just the reason why you must listen to reason in this matter. Because if you do not listen and instead persist in this obstinate disobedience, you are going to be killed, and your beneficial influence on Babylon will be over. Consider first that your disobedience is already being entirely misunderstood. You think that you are standing for the identity of the true God, but what you're doing is actually being construed as political rebellion, defiance of the king's order. You are not going to be executed for religion, but for civil disobedience. So what does good persisting in this rebellious state do? The proper course is to bow down, live, and extend your godly influence in other ways. Or again, a wise head might have argued, understand that Nebuchadnezzar is actually on your side. He did not need to give you a hearing. When he did, he did not need to give you another chance. He has done these things only because he is already well disposed towards you and likes you. He does not want to execute you. I think that if you would only stand at a distance from the statue and tip your head forward slightly, you won't need to prostrate yourself on the ground. Nebuchadnezzar would be pleased by that and respect you all the more. He would realize that it was a difficult thing for you to do, but that you did it for his sake. It takes men of courage to compromise like that. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had stopped to consider these arguments, they might have wavered. But they did not stop to consider them or waver because they already knew where they stood and why they stood there. In other words, they had already wrestled through such issues and knew that whatever else they might have been, they were first and foremost worshipers of the true God. And he had said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Before the testing time comes, we must have already decided about our commitment to God. We need more people, like these three Hebrews, to have an even if not faith. Some questions to consider. Why must your commitment to Christ be settled before you are tested? What does it mean when the three said, "We have no need to answer you in this matter"? And finally, yet they did give an answer in verses 17 and 18. What lessons of faith do you learn from that answer? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.